Wow, that cold weather will do it to you. Thanks for being out today. Appreciate your just faithfulness. We're on a really exciting journey right now. I hope you didn't know that. We kind of wake up every day, kind of walk through the week, wondering, God, what are you going to do next? And that's a good place to be. We talked about last week. We began this new sermon series on core strength, our core strength, and we're not going to demonstrate. I'm not going to demonstrate core strength exercises for you. I'm going to we'll just pass that over a little bit here. But I want to talk about what does it mean to be strong as it relates to our values, our core in defining who we are as people. Last week we talked about Jesus as central to our lives and what that looked like and how to kind of keep that as a core value of who we are. But here's the thing that I want us to be sure of, and I want to remind you from our time together last week. We're talking about legacy, church's core values, but really our heart's desire is say, Jesus, do some of this in me. God, let these be my personal values, or help me to embrace them or adopt them or kind of claim them as my own. So we give you definitely the right to just adopt as many of these as possible. But I think collectively, we have to define who it is God's calling us to be. And what do we value? And at the end of the day, what is it that we believe intrinsically, internally, that God is calling us to become? And so this helps us. Number one, again, Jesus is central. And I want to begin today's value by reading a prayer together that Jesus began and Jesus shared with the disciples. And you're going to recognize this. In fact, I'm going to just ask you to indulge me and stand one more time, if you would. And I want us to read this prayer that even if you're not familiar with church life, you may have heard this or said this at some point in your life. It's called the Lord's Prayer. So let's read this together out loud and loudly. Here we go. Reading, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You could tell, if you memorize that like in the King James Version, like some King James just came out of me right there. That happens. But so. I want to reference this prayer here in just a few moments, but I want to launch into our second value. Last week again, Jesus is central. Value number two. Write this down in your note sheet. You should have a note sheet in your program there. Every person is valuable. Every person is valuable. We believe Jesus thinks so. We believe Jesus thinks everybody and every person is valuable. In fact, here is the value. I want to read it to you. Follow along. When we honor people, we honor God. Therefore, we will lay down our lives for everyone. We will lay down our lives for the lonely, the least, the longing, and the lost. We will lay down our lives. Matthew 25 and verse 40 says, And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. When you did it to one of the least of these, you were doing it to me. The backdrop of that passage, Matthew 25:40, is that this is the final judgment, and Jesus is just painting a picture for the hearers of what it's going to feel like and what it's going to be like at that day of judgment. I mean, so far, death has been kind of 100%. We're all guaranteed. We're going to expire from this life and enter into the next. And he describes this moment when we stand before him and have to give an account for our lives. And he's saying to those that are on his right, He says these words, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world." And here's the criteria. He says, "I was hungry and you fed me. For I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." And then these righteous ones will reply, "Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king said, "I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me." You were doing it all along. Isn't it interesting to you, as it is interesting, it is, it's piqued my interest, that at the judgment, at the final kind of, as we give an account for our lives, the issue on the table comes down to, how did you treat people? Isn't that interesting? Like, when you were treating people that way, or when you were loving people, when you were embracing people, you were in fact doing that to me. It's interesting that as parents raising our kids, I'm saying this now as a grandparent, you know, we as parents are really without announcing it, we don't have to make any kind of announcement, but we just feel this. The way you treat my kid, and in fact, is how you're treating me, right? If you love on my kid, or if you congratulate my kid, then guess what? You're really loving on me and congratulating me. It's this way, and even in our husband and wife relationships, the two are one. Somebody came up to me in the first service and was just going on about Patty. And said, "Oh, Patty's what a blessing to my life." And they actually started it by saying, "No offense, but she really has ministered to my life." And I said, "No offense taken, because if you're saying that about her, and you're affirming her, guess what? You're affirming me." And so that's a pretty cool thing. We do that, and Jesus is actually engaged in this kind of explanation of how valuable his creation is, because inherent in everyone, as created beings, is the stamp of the Creator. We just got to go back to Genesis chapter 1, where you see that in the image of God at creation, in the image of God, He created them. He created us. That person sitting next to you has the stamp of the heart of God emblazoned in them. I mean, it's, you just can't get away from it. And those workmates, the ones that drive you crazy, guess what? They have the stamp of the heart of Jesus on their lives. Whatever you did, he says, to the least of these. So here's my takeaway on this, as we just kind of set up understanding the value of humanity. The takeaway for us, maybe you're a Christ follower, you follow Jesus, you walk with the Lord, you want to serve him, you want to worship him. My takeaway is, if you want to have an encounter with Jesus and the Father heart of God, then just love people, right? If you want to worship and have a worship experience that connects with the Father heart of God, or you simply just, maybe you're just here, you just want to be in good graces with God. Like, man, I'm just happy to get through a day and just stay in good graces with God, whatever that means. Then he says, really, how you treat people is going to become important at the end of the day. Listen, more than worship happening in a building, which we love to worship in a building, more than showing up at a church service, which we love to gather like this and lift worship to God, more than what we give in the offering, loving people whom he stamped his image upon is the essence of worship, really, in loving him. How I treat people really is a reflection of my love to Jesus. I think that's important for us to grasp. It's interesting, James chapter 1, just kind of setting up where we're going here. James chapter 1, verse 22, James says these words. He says, "But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, we're only fooling ourselves." And then 5 verses later, he says this, "Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God, the Father, means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you." So let me back up again. Don't just listen to God's word, he says. You must do what it says. And then pure and genuine religion in the sight of God is caring for orphans and widows in their distress. Simply put, it's taking care of people and humanity, taking care of each other. Turn, kind of elbow somebody next to you and say, hey, I got your back. That's a good thing to say. Hey, I got your back. I got your back. I'm with you. I'm going to cover you. My question today, and really the challenge, is when we talk about a value like this, valuing people, caring for people, how do I do a better job at this? Now I'm just going to personalize that for a moment. How can I take better care of people? How do I show people I value them? How do I live with that just inside of my heart, that if you bump me, out spills care and love for people? I think it's important for us to wrestle with this. How do we live out this value? I'm going to give you some thoughts today that I think, I hope will help us in living out this value. Number one, write this down on your note sheet. Watch the master. Watch the master. You want to live out this value? You want to live with this heart of valuing people? Then I think it's important for us to watch the master so I can learn how he valued people. We want to follow his example. Now, on a day like today, it's tough to think too much about golf, but I know that when I get out there and I open my life up, because only somebody who golfs knows that you don't let a lot of people speak into your game. In fact, just as another golfer, you don't speak into somebody else's game unless they invite it, and even then, it's really awkward. But the idea is, they swing the club, they're showing you how, and you're just watching what they're doing, and you just want to emulate that. Sometimes you YouTube, how do you hit out of the sand, right? You YouTube that. How many of you have ever been at the gym? Have you ever been to the gym or wanted to know how to do an exercise, the technique of an exercise correctly? And so at the gym, I've had to look up how to do a proper hammer curl, right? What does that even look like? And I'll look at that, and you just kind of watch it, and then you just emulate what you see. It's just very, very basic. How many of you do that with cooking? Pinterest. You go on Pinterest, you look at a recipe, or they show you how to stir it and mix it, and you really enjoy watching that, and what they do, you want to emulate it. That, there's nothing wrong with that. So the question is, why wouldn't we do that when we're talking about this value of treating people well? Emulate or watch the master. I think, watch how he did it. There is really no better four books in the Bible that really put Jesus on display as to how he treated people than Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, right? Just dig into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and dig into the Gospels to see how he did it. You want to know, well, how did he do it? How did he treat people? And then you look and you begin to see unfolding before your eyes his treatment of humanity. For example, I'll just give you four or five quick ones, and you can kind of see with their and how they relate to our culture today. For example, the man with leprosy, this horrific disease. People in society were repulsed by this man, this individual. Do we know people in our society today that people are just repulsed by? The man with leprosy, Jesus broke past human limitations and he touched the man. This is in Luke chapter 5. I encourage you to read these later on. What about the Samaritan woman? The Samaritan woman, these are people whom culture, I love this, whom culture rolls their eyes at. You ever read somebody's Facebook post and roll your eyes? Come on. You ever just talk, you hear somebody that maybe I don't think they don't really have good filters. You know what I'm saying? You talk to me like, wow, because they're just like lay it all out there, or they're like in the break room and they're talking about their personal life. And what do people do around them? You kind of look at them and people are rolling their eyes. The Samaritan woman would have been a good example of that. She was engaged. Jesus engaged in a conversation with her, and she said, "I'm not married." And he said, "Oh, well, you're not, but you were married five times, and the man you're living with is not your husband." You know, this is the kind of individual that society would have rolled their eyes at. Jesus engaged in conversation with her and offered her living water. That's John chapter 4. What about the woman caught in adultery? That society would have said, this woman is deserving of death in that time period. And they would press the law to try to her disadvantage. Jesus extended unwarranted grace and mercy to her, John chapter 8, verse 3. What about blind Bartimaeus? He's a blind beggar. The Bible says he is by the road begging, shouting out, Son of David, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. It was enough for Jesus to stop. Now, what was society saying? Society says about this kind of individual, you know, we'll tolerate them as long as they stay in their place, right? As long as they stay in their place, stay where they're supposed to be. Jesus stopped and he addressed, he really addressed what was going on, the issue of his life. I love the question Jesus asked the blind man. What is it I can do for you? What is it you need? When was the last time we engaged in somebody like this at this level? And says, what is it? How can I pray for you? What a great question. There was a season of time. I haven't done it lately. There was a season of time. I was sitting at lunch with a guy, and it just impacted my life. We were getting ready to pray for our lunch, and the server had come and dropped the food off. He said this question to the server. He said, hey, we're going to pray for our meal anyways. Is there anything we can pray for you about? And the lady was kind of astonished. Said, oh, well, yeah, my kids are whatever. And that was it. And we agreed together in prayer. I kind of carried that from that moment for a season of time, kind of moved away from it. But when was the last time we engaged in this kind of conversation with people? That's John chapter 10, verse 46. What about the widow of Nain, this widow whose son just died? It's a funeral procession. Jesus steps into that moment in that funeral procession and stops the procession, reaches in, touches the young man, and brings him back to life. It was amazing, right? Great moment. He addresses the void of her heart and her life. Like, this woman has really been through a lot. And this funeral procession, this funeral dirge, turns into a celebration. When was the last time we were just able to get into somebody's space that we knew were going through a really, really difficult time, a loss of a loved one, or just personal loss of any kind, and just say, how can I bring life into this situation? That's Luke chapter 7, verse 11. See, it's all throughout the Gospels. I would encourage you, if you just want to, like, I would like to learn a little bit more of how Jesus responded in situations like this, to just read the Gospels. In order to watch him more closely, I have to know what it is he did and how he responded. What about when he went to the cross? He was saying to every one of us here, for generations to come, for little Raya, my little grandson, for my granddaughters, he was saying to all of us in this room, I'm doing this for you. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. All of it becomes about people. Valuing people. I think watching the master is important, but I want to tell you right now, it's not enough. Watching the master is important, but it's not enough. We have to do the second thing. Check this out. Write it down. Adjust. We got to adjust our solar system. We got to adjust our solar system. It's one thing to watch the master. So one thing to watch what he does. It's another thing to then make the adjustments in our own life so that we can do what he's doing even better. We got to adjust our solar system. In his book, People Becoming the Church, Wes Davis writes these words. He says, did you know that there was a day when people thought the earth was the center of the universe? People thought the earth was the center. And all of our answers and understanding of the stars, the world, and creation was based on that assumption. And some really smart people, Aristotle and Ptolemy, led the way in Earth-centered universe thinking. Everyone was living as if Earth was the center of the universe. And then one day, we find out it's not true. Shout out to Nicholas Copernicus, 16th century Polish astronomer. He proposed the Copernican model, a sun-centered solar system. See, we had all of the right things, the sun, the moon, the earth, the other planets, but we had them in the wrong order. All the right pieces, but the wrong order. Could that be true of us, Legacy Church, that we, when we become the center of our own universe, is it possible that we're living maybe with some wrong assumptions? Could it be that we're living, or that we have been living, as if we are the center of our own universe? Anybody, maybe you don't struggle with that. In just a moment, I'll give you a good reason to pray for me, because I see myself missing the mark here. The Lord's Prayer, Jesus offers the remedy by that prayer we read just a little bit earlier. The disciples come to him, and they say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. It's a great question. In fact, it's a great question because it's one of those moments where it's really a defining moment. Jesus has an opportunity here to describe and explain to his disciples how to communicate with his Father. Here's how I want you to communicate. I mean, this is a huge question. It's like our kids coming to us and asking those life-defining questions, like, Dad, tell me about, how do I invite Jesus into my heart? What does that even mean? Whoa. I mean, that's a huge moment. Like when our kids come to us, when they're young, they say, Mom, Dad, where do babies come from? That's a huge moment. How we respond to that. Tell me how you guys met. Tell me all these, that we pause for a moment and say, okay, I need to answer this question carefully, because this is going to set the stage for a lifetime. I think Jesus had that same kind of moment. Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus says back to them, when you pray, start out by saying this. Go ahead and put it back up there. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Why don't you, when you pray, why don't you start out with just acknowledging how awesome and how holy your Heavenly Father is? Why don't you just, let's go ahead and just begin there by just getting proper perspective of who God is. Begin in worship. Begin to find yourself in awe of His presence once again. I tell you what, life can have the ability to kind of sap that right out of us, kind of soak that right out of us. But to begin by saying, God, you are awesome. I mean, put on an MP3, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. And just let that begin to change your perspective. Let that begin to change your paradigm. Let that begin to change your solar system a little bit when we just begin with who God is, how holy He is, and how much of our praise He is worthy of. When you lead with worship, it puts our needs and our wants in proper perspective. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Watch this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Look at the next line. Give us this day our daily. It's like, wait a minute. Like my needs, I haven't even addressed my needs yet until I have said, God, I want your will to be done. I want your kingdom to come today. I want to get on your agenda for this day. I think this is really important for us to grasp. Jesus could have said any which way. He could have taught these guys how to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, God, you know what I need. God, you know this week I need a bonus. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, Lord Jesus. You know, God, I'm ready for that relationship. And rather than stepping into, listen, again, let me just pause by saying, I'm not preaching down or speaking down at anyone. I mean, I'm with you on this. Because I want to go there sometimes. Lord, God, there's some things here that I think you're missing. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, before you pray for our, before we pray for our daily bread and our personal stuff or our personal happiness or that our bills need to be paid or our clothing needs met, we get to pray and invite God's presence into our day and into this moment. Get to invite God's kingdom to come, your will, his will to be done. Find out the will of the Father and then do it. Start there. I love that Jesus teaches them this model, and then for 3 years, he demonstrates to them what the will of the Father indeed is. He demonstrates to them what it means to live a kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven kind of life. He just continues to reach. It all gets down to touching and reaching and embracing people. When I start with this model, watching the master and adjusting my solar system, it becomes a little bit of a balance, a balancing act. Now, watch what I mean by this. I jumped on the scale recently at the gym. It's those ones with the weights, right? Those are the weights. And happy to say that I was pushing it down this way. And that's the good way to go. And I was pushing that thing down. And that little needle, right? It's just a little bit of watching. It's a lot of watching and adjusting. Watching the master and adjusting my life. Watching what he does. Watching how he responds and adjusting my solar system. It's not a one and done. Hello. It's not a one and done. I wish I could say when I gave my heart to Jesus at age 11, I had it down. Mm-mm. Every day. Guess what? Tomorrow morning, Monday, I'm going to wake up. I want to watch and I want to adjust my life. I want to adjust my solar system. I was confronted with the reality of my deficiency in this area this week. I'm working on this message, literally sitting at the computer at my desk. Patty walks in, my wife. She walks in, and she's just getting back from the gym. She says, oh, she's telling me about the people she met. So like we're meeting people in the community and just having these awesome conversations. And so she's proceeding to tell me about that particular morning at the gym. And she says, yeah, it's a spin class, and I got there early. So I got a good bike by the instructor, and so I was warming it up and got there early. The whole classroom fills up, and the class was like 30 seconds from starting, and somebody rushed in and went right up to her and said, oh, I'm sorry, you're on my bike. So Patty's telling me this story, right? And so she came up to me and said, you're on my bike. And she said, at that moment, I sensed God saying to me, I'm giving you an opportunity here. But while she's telling me the story, I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Like, I'm getting offended, and it's not even my story. Right? I'm like, well, you said you got here late, right? You told her that. I said, no, I got off the bike. And I said, I warmed it up for you. And she went over to her bike. But what led that moment was, God, you give God, just a small, still voice in her heart, I'm giving you an opportunity here. Something in me, I don't know how I've done that. I hate to say it, but I think I said, hey, there's one bike over there. I'm sorry, is your name on this one? I might have said in a real snarky way. And I'm capable of that. I'm just confessing. There was an opportunity for, again, it's watching and adjusting. And that woman actually, during the class, on three separate times, caught eyes with Patty, and she was saying this, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I think that's important for us to grasp. I recognize that just my response on a story that wasn't even mine, there's still parts of my journey where it becomes about me, right? It's still about my journey. It's still about my feelings. It's still about my rights. It's still about things that I feel like I'm entitled to. It's the action and counteraction of watching and adjusting. Let me give you the third one. I think we get those two, watching the master and adjusting our solar system, then we really have opportunity to begin a heaven to earth movement. I know that sounds a little bit like, wow, that's just kind of crazy. That's out there. But I believe with all of my heart that Jesus wants to begin a heaven on earth movement through every single one of us in this room. What do I mean by that? When points one and two, watch the master, adjust the solar, your solar system, when those two come together and they work in perfect synchronicity, I believe we have opportunity to bring a heaven to earth movement in our world, in our sphere of influence. Your kingdom come, your will be done. When I live that way and I watch the master and I adjust my life and my paradigm, watch, I have the ability to celebrate people more. I have the ability to weep with people more. You know, we prayed for this in our the first hour. We prayed for the school shootings in the people, the lives that were taken, the families of those lives, the ripple effect. This week, I needed to pause on that a moment. I thought, Jesus, how do you feel? Because a lot of times I see that little bulletin come across my phone, like we all do. We go, oh, you know, 17 people lost. Okay, we move on. What's for dinner? That's not a judgment. It's just how life happens. But when I'm walking with a watch and adjust, I begin to feel things differently. I respond with greater urgency to needs around me. You know, rather than putting off a text that I think is going to encourage somebody, I need to respond. I need to do it right now. I give permission. Here's a huge one. When I live with this in this paradigm, in this reality of watching the master and adjusting my solar system, watch this. I give permission to be inconvenienced. Permission to be inconvenienced. Again, how many times did that happen to Jesus? How many times was he walking down the road and somebody was pulling his garment, someone was touching him here, someone was yelling his name, somebody was, and he would stop and he would pause and he would embrace and kids were running to him. And I mean, how many times he lived by permission to be inconvenienced? Somebody needs to make a shirt that says, permission to be inconvenienced. Can we live? Can we think that way? As I watch the master and as I adjust my life, I touch people that would otherwise be outcast. I have opportunity to rescue. Get this. I have opportunity to rescue. I have opportunity to heal. I have opportunity to embrace. I was thinking, as a fellowship, we have the opportunity of a lifetime. I'm going to set that down because I want to speak from my heart. We have the opportunity of a lifetime. I was standing up here, over here during the first service, just worshiping. And I was overcome with the opportunity that's before us. I said, Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you allowed me this opportunity. Thank you at the front end, 3 months into planting Legacy Church. 3 months. The lives that you are going to touch. Thank you. We have a blank canvas. We have the opportunity to rewrite futures, our vision statement, for generations to come. What a fun opportunity. I have the greatest opportunity in the world. The greatest job in the world. But it's not my job. It's our calling. We have the greatest moment to begin to prepare a space, to prepare a people to reach this city and to reach this region. That's what we're getting ready to do. Now that's what we're gearing up for. We're God didn't open up this facility for us to just be cozy, right? I mean, we are cozy, thank God. By the way, those chairs, God provided those chairs for us. Praise God. He just keeps moving things forward. We just keep watching and adjusting. Lord, what is it you want to do? I believe in this room there are dreams that are hidden that are going to be birthed right out of this place. I talked to a friend, Thane, who has just a vision that God's given him. He wants to rescue people that are hurting. They're hurting through addictions in their lives. He wants to provide a place for them to get off the streets and regroup and redirect their. And if you talk to Thane about that vision, he lights up. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen Thane light up to the degree that when he first unpacked that for me, I said, oh my goodness, Jesus, never let me forget this moment. It's a dream that God is going to, here's how it happens, watching and adjusting. Permission to be inconvenienced, permission to be stretched, permission to get uncomfortable. I just watch and adjust. As a fellowship, we started a year ago. I sat down with Bruce Leggett. He's has a vision. He's a part of our fellowship, has a vision for and a heart for this city with us. We were praying a year ago. We hadn't even moved out of Hayden yet. We didn't have no building. We had our very few introductory meetings. And I said, Bruce, wouldn't it be awesome? What if we created a third space? What's this? What if we created a third space? We go plant this church in Liberty Lake. We just created a third space for people to gather and hang out. You know, people go to work and they go home. They live at home and they go to work. Third space is kind of, you know, kind of coffee shop or the gym. People have a third space. What if we created one? What if we created one? What would you think? A year of time goes by, we're praying, we're meeting in coffee shops, we're taking hands in the middle of that coffee shop, and we're praying, Jesus, help us to reach a city. What's a way that we can open our doors so people just come in and feel comfortable in a space, just grabbing a cup of coffee and or just serving, like top notch, top tier. How could we do that, Lord? That was our prayer. I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, This vision, we had no idea how it was going to come together. Our paths, you know, we got the church launched and Bruce was back here and he's working on other things. But now all of a sudden we're beginning to see doors open. We're seeing opportunity and potential that one day right out here in this lobby all the way to the brick wall on the other side is going to be the most amazing coffee space. That we just open the doors. So you can come in here and study, come in here and have conversation, just come in here and just experience the light. We're not going to preach sermons, we're not going to blast, you know, the fish, you know, here it is, get this, we're just going to be, right? We're just going to be, we're just going to have coffee together, we're just going to have conversation. That's just a dream, right? That's another example. There are books in this room that are going to be written. Why? Because we want to help people watching and adjust. Songs that will be written by our worship teams. Songs that will be written, worship that will be led watching and adjusting. We get to begin a heaven on earth movement right here, right now. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to pray together. And while you're just in this moment, I want to ask the question, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? What's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Maybe there's a conversation that needs to happen. Maybe there's a life that you know of that just needs to be encouraged. Maybe there's a dream that God's given you that you need to start to give traction to. Maybe the Holy Spirit's saying to you today in just a drawing way, not a condemning way, a drawing way that just simply says, just begin to watch and adjust. Watch the Master and begin to adjust. Watch Jesus. Maybe just a stirring, maybe a point of conviction that says, yeah, I got to do a better job. I recognize that my world has kind of become about me and I offend easily and I get snarky real easily and I get defensive real easily and I become passive aggressive easily. These are just indicators that it's become about me. And I push people away and I'm repulsed and I'm repelled and I respond like the culture and I recognize this, I'm not watching and I'm not adjusting. Maybe that's what the Holy Spirit's speaking. Let me just pray for you, pray for us. Jesus, there's so many things, God, that you are saying and you're drawing us to. And they're always about growing and they're always about directing us back to your creation, directing us back to loving people, directing us back to valuing people, this value that we want to live out, Lord. And we recognize the only way we can value people, the least, the lost, the longing and the hurting, God, the only way we can do that is by watching you and adjusting our lives accordingly. Your kingdom come, Lord. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, begin in me. Begin in me. Even this week, Lord, even this week. Begin that work in me, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.